All right, Debo, say good morning. Let's begin. So we are picking up top of page Reish Yud. So remember again, yesterday the Mechaber was introducing us to the idea about revelation of what he called this Nekuda Pnimius. So revelation of this internal identity, this idea that ultimately, again, clothing protects us on one hand, clothing goes ahead and protects the body, but what clothing also does is it potentially obscures that which is inside. So the same way that when one goes ahead and takes or sheds clothing, so one not only reveals the body, but one is able to reveal the inside as well. So again, he also pointed out that with wine, this is the sort of nichnas yayin yatsa sod. The wine comes in, the secrets come out. Ultimately, again, the wine reveals, removes the external layers as well. So we left off yesterday with the Mechaber explaining that this is why by Avelos, by mourning, we go ahead and we rip clothing. Because ripping clothing ultimately represents exposing vulnerability. Whereas the clothing represents protection, whereas the clothing represents the buffer for the external realities of the world. When a person suffers loss, their vulnerabilities have been exposed, and that is expressed through the ripping of the clothing. This is Hari Motzim. It's the top of page Reish Yud. Hari Motzim Anu Sha'avelos Ne'emar Ba Dinkriya. So we see, therefore, when it comes to mourning, there's an obligation to rend one's garment. Kolomar Yesh Kan Pikiya Shara Halavushim. There's a removal of clothing by Avelos. In other words, the ripping of the clothing represents something much more metaphorically profound. The ripping of the clothing by Avelos represents the exposure of vulnerabilities. I no longer have the protection. I no longer have the security that I thought I once enjoyed. So too by Noach, when it says that he became revealed within his tent, Gam kan yesh mahalich shalavushim mekablim nekuda shalav shata. So it's supposed to say, when it comes to Noach, remember how this whole discussion began, was with Noach. So it's when it comes to Noach, when it says that Noach became exposed or unclothed in his tent, ultimately it represents a shedding, not just of external physical layers, but the shedding of a certain level of protection, shedding of a certain layer of protection from vulnerability, and ultimately, again, revealing that which is inside. V'tzarach lahavin, ma'ya avelus, ma'ya kriya, u'ma'inyonim shal osam yimei mishta v'simcha. Supposed to listen to what we're going to focus on now, the profundity of this question. Therefore, we have to ask ourselves, what is the true nature of mourning? What is the nature of rending our clothing? And what is the nature of the what is the celebratory nature of, of Purim? What does it mean that Purim is Yimei Mishta V'Simcha? Yomim Shabahem Miskala HaSimcha Daiko B'Nikulas Havshat HaSalavushim. So I'll say just to kind of focus a little bit where we are. What the Mechaber is explaining is there seem to be two interesting and distinct realities that cause a shedding of external layers and a revelation of that which is below or that which is inside. What are those two processes that shed the external layers and reveal that which is below or that which is inside? Number one is removal of clothing. So removal of clothing, that hafshata, that external shedding, ultimately reveal the physical body, but also reveal on a deeper level what's inside, and drinking. The nichnas yayin yatsa sod. The drinking also is able to shed that which is on the outside and to reveal that which is in the inside. So the Mechaber says there seems to be some type of connection between the kriya, the rending of the clothing of Avelos, or I should say, there's a connection between mourning, the practice of rending clothing, and the practice of drinking and celebration on Purim. It's interesting, who would ever think to link all of these concepts? And the idea ultimately we're trying to figure out is really what is the nature of the simcha on Purim? What is it? What is it? He says, Yom Shem Miskala Simcha Daika Menikulas Hashata Salavushim. There's something about Purim, or there's something about the simcha of Purim that only comes out with drinking, which means that there's something about the simcha of Purim that requires the removal of the external layers. What is the nature of that simcha? So he goes on. So we'll say we're starting the next section on page Reish Yud. This section is titled Bepurim Miskala Hanekudah Shein Ba'avoda. Yadua Shalavush It's a very interesting observation. The word lavush, which means clothing, is from the same etymological root as the word shevil, which means pathway. He says, "Kala olam kulo nizon b'shvil chanina b'ni." So remember again, the Gemara of Seches Tainis brings down that the Gemara says the entire world is sustained because of my son Chanina, the Gemara says. And by the way, the Gemara says, V'chanina, dailo bekav shel charuvin. So Chanina, Rabbi Chanina was the one who sustained in his merit the entire world. Yet Rabbi Chanina himself was able to go ahead and live on a kav of boxer, of charuv. Okay. Rabbi Chanina, hu nekudas hislapshus, hu ashvio, hu atzinor, hu amashvio. Rabbi Chanina, says the Mechaber, represents the clothing. Nekudas hislapshus. He is the pathway. He is the faucet. He is the one ultimately, again, who is the mashpia. He's the one who showers upon others. So this idea, I will say, if you could imagine, shvil, solution of shvil doesn't just mean pathway, but rather, if you could imagine, it means like, not like a faucet. What goes into the faucet? Like the pipe. Okay, the pipe. Right, for lack of a better term, it's the pipe that ultimately, it's right, the pipe that allows something to flow from point A to point B. So the Mechaber suggests over here that the Lashon of Levush, which is clothing, shares the same etymological root as the word shevil, which means pathway, pipe, faucet, which represents the ability to take something from point A and to bring it to point B. Hamshacha shanachnu makirim, tsuras hakabalah, he al yedei levushim. So we'll say this is an incredible yisod. The amshacha, the drawing something out that we understand. Tzura sakabalah, he al yedei levushim. Aval yeshna tzura acheres, biskalus yenikas ha'adva mimakar achiyas. So we'll say, in general, if you want to go ahead and you want to draw something from point A to point B, so you require a shvil. You require levush, you require tina, you require some type of pipe. So what the Gemara is suggesting over here is, there are two ways that you could go ahead and draw something from point A to point B. You could establish the pipeline, or, which, for example, that's the Gemara saying over here, when the Gemara says, Kala olam kulo nizon bishvil chanina b'ni. When the Gemara says, Rabbi Chanina is responsible for sustaining the world. That's saying Rabbi Chanina is the pipeline. He's the pipeline through which everything is drawn. He is the tzinor, he is the shvil, he is the levush. There's another way, says the Mechaber, that we also draw out sustenance from what he calls the mikor achius, from the source of life. What is that second? I promise this is going to make more sense in just a little bit. Look what he writes. We're going to get a little bit more confused until we bring it back together. Right now, I'm sorry?
We have faith.
Good. Just right now, all you need to do is just remember the basic ideas we have. Number one, clothing represents security, right? Clothing represents, and therefore removal of the clothing represents not just the revelation of the physical body, but a deeper revelation of the self. The only other way we discuss a deeper revelation of the self is through wine. Nichnas yayin, yatsas sod. Which tells us that somehow, so that establishes the Mechaber's connection between wine, and therefore, interestingly enough, one of the times where there's a revelation of this internal self is by avelos, is by mourning. Because mourning, we rip the clothing. See, interestingly enough, what you see on a deeper level is a connection between Purim and avelos. Because what's coming on between Purim and avelos is that both represent processes through which we go ahead and reveal the inner self. Right? By Purim, we reveal it ultimately by consumption of wine. By avelos, we reveal it by the rending of the clothing. So the fundamental question we're trying to figure out is, what is that connection? What is that connection between Purim and avelos, besides for what we just said? And ultimately, what's the deeper meaning, therefore, in the meaning of simcha? That's the overall question we're working on. Now, the boss that we've been introduced to over here is a new interesting definition, or new interesting etymology. What we've just discovered is that the word levush also shares the same etymological root as the word shvil. So now we have a new definition of clothing as well, which is that ultimately, again, that clothing represents the ability to bring something from one point to another. That ability to channel or to pipe something. Well, it's not channel, but to channel something from point A to point B. Rabbi Hanina, Bishur, Rabbi Hanina, Bini, the entire world is sustained. Bishvil. Look, what's that word? Bishvil, we translate it as because. What the Gemara is also saying is Rabbi Hanina is the shvil. He's the tsinor. He's the pipeline through which everything is focused, through which every bracha is channeled here into this world. Now what the Mechaber says is, there are two different ways to receive bracha in this world. There's what we'll call the shvil method, where someone or something is piping that bracha to me, or we're going to see now there's a secondary mechanism by which a person could take bracha into this world. We're going to read one more paragraph and then we'll stop for today. Ubiyoser omek. If we go look at this a little bit deeper. Hamahalech shal yenika maschil mishas aleda. So I'll say, interestingly enough, the yisod ultimately again of nourishment, or even of literal nursing, is an idea that starts in the moment of birth. Aval koldem l'leida, but before birth, ein mahalech shal yinika. Sibo saying, before birth, there's no such thing as a mother nursing her child. Ela, ubar yerech imo. L'chad ma'an damar, v'gam ma'an damar shalav yerech imo, elu v'elu divre l'kim chayim. Elamitzad mashu hu omid latzei zachusa hu nikra lav yerech imo umitzad mashu mekusha l'sharasho hu nikra yerech imo v'ubar yerech imo perush sha'ubar nimtza l'mala minakudas hayenika hu nikhla b'mekar haviyasav. So we'll say, okay, we'll explain this and then we're going to stop. You know, when a child is in utero, so there's a machlokas in halacha in general as to how we view that child. Right? Is a child considered to be ubar yerech imo? Excuse me. Is a child considered to be ubar yerech imo a part of the mother? Or do we say ubar lav yerech imo? In other words, do we look at a child in utero as a separate independent entity? Or do we look at it as an extension of the mother? Extension of the mother. They both say, now one thing is clear, which is that when that child is born, how do we view it? Right? As separate and distinct from the mother. What the Mechaber over here is going to highlight, and I will say with this, we're going to stop right now. You know, it's the fifth time I've said that, but now I'm really going to stop. The idea over here is, everyone agrees with the following, that even if you disagree with the concept of Uber Yerech Imo, you recognize that it is a viable halachic concept, which means what they're both saying, that there's the ability to latch onto something, not just in a secondary way, but in a primary way. The idea of Ubar Yerech Imo is that the fetus has the ability to latch on to the source of life, not just as a secondary appendage, but to become part of the primary source of life itself. You understand the deep hashkafa in that? That the question really is, I'll say, if you could imagine for just a moment, I'll give you coming attractions, but if you can imagine just a moment, that machlokes uber yarechimo, uber lav yarechimo, what's this relationship between the fetus and the mother, is really also a beautiful metaphor for our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ribono Shel Olam is the gestational mother. Right, we are the fetus in utero. So the shayla is, what's the nature of that relationship? Do we say ubar lav yarechimo? God is sustaining me, but I am not a part of God. Or do we say ubar yerech imo? That ultimately, again, the fetus, Klal Yisrael, us, the Jew, has the ability not just to receive nourishment from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but ultimately to be part of the Ribono Shel Olam himself, Bichvodo Ba'atzlo. So we'll stop over here for today. I know I'm leaving you on a little bit of a cliffhanger, but understand again how we're going to understand this ability to connect to the source of life will ultimately impact how we understand our ability to focus as the shvil, as the pathway, as the tzinor, as the faucet for bracha as well. All right, we'll pick up here at bottom of Reishu tomorrow. Mirat Hashem.